Good morning.
Good morning.
Got to get all set up here. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I wanted to take a sec before we got started. I wanted to recognize a friend of mine that's been so instrumental in Awake, and even before we started Awake with Women After God, and she has volunteered behind the scenes for years, and it's a quiet service, but it's a powerful service because she really stepped in to help with our Instagram and our weekly emails. And it seems, you know, when someone does something so consistently for years, we sort of forget the power and the strength that comes with that. I mean, the kingdom is built on those that are consistent, I'm convinced. Lacey, thank you. So we're transitioning our weekly emails and our Instagram under one now because we're starting sort of a new communications. And so Lacey was happy to pass that baton. But I mean, I don't know, Lace, you've been doing it for like 4 or 5. How long? I mean, I just didn't want this day to go by without recognizing you.
A few years.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be kind of a one-man show, and then Lacey's like, let me help you with that. I was like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Very, very grateful for you, because it's, you know, y'all just see those of us that get up and speak, but wow, there's so many people behind the scenes doing everything that it takes to keep things rolling, and it is all about community here. So thank you, Lacey, really, for all those years. I appreciate it. So if you have any complaints about any of the the social media, that's not on Lacey and I anymore. That'd be Casey. Casey's not here, but, you know, no, I'm teasing. But we're, yeah, have a little patience while we're kind of trying to get all that transitioned. It should be pretty smooth. I'm probably going to talk about one of my favorite things to talk about today. And I love the love message. I mean, I'm all about that. But I think God definitely has called me more to be an equipper. And I love equipping people. And this message to me is the most important message I feel like we can hear right now, especially just the season that we're in. This season of just a lot of things swirling in our world that feel so out of bounds, that feel dark, that feel confused. And so I know you're going to leave here equipped in a different way, because I know that we all need to understand the difference between power and authority. I'm going to speak on authority, but I want to start with sort of outlining the difference between power and authority, because most Christians would say they don't. Is there a difference? They wouldn't know that there's a difference. So the first verse I want to read is out of Luke 9:1. And of course, I marked everything, but I didn't mark everything correctly. How it kind of goes. All right. In Luke 9:1, it says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So in there, we see that Jesus gives them power and authority. So they are different, but we need both to expand and enforce the kingdom of God. Power, in the sense that Jesus is using here, comes from the Greek word dunamis. And power is creative in nature. Power is how God created the world, how he birthed the heavens and the seas. That is the power of God. So miracles are creative, and those come through the power of God. Mary's pregnancy is through the power of God. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men is without excuse." Power is the work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, we read about how the disciples are told, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." We as Christians need power to expand the kingdom of God. Expanding meaning like we reach out and we're making disciples. We're, you know, like if you've kept up with the headlines in Brazil, I think 140,000 people gave their life to Christ, even the president of Brazil. That is the power of God moving. So we conquer with power. The power of God also activates the gifts of the Holy Spirit within you, the gifts of faith, healing, prophecy, wisdom. The gifts are activated through the power. Because power is a gift from God, it is freely given. There's nothing that we do to deserve it. It is freely given, and it will not be taken away. The gifts of God are irrevocable. They will not be taken away, whether you use them for good or not. The more we make room for the Holy Spirit, the more power we allow God to deposit into our life. It's our privilege to be impressed with the power of God. Yet, many people get led astray because they get impressed with power. And they forget God. Because power can be used for good or evil. How do I know that? Well, I want to look at the enemy for a second. Satan, by the way. Satan is not a name, it's a title. When Satan fell, God took his name away. So that Satan is actually a title in Hebrew. He had the highest authority, but he lost his authority. But he kept his power. He disobeyed and lost authority, but kept power. Because the gifts of God are irrevocable. Power can be used for good or evil. Paul warns us to guard the good deposit. When you see the power of God moving in your life, or maybe you see it moving in someone else's life, I'm going to move this. I'm with you last time. It's messing with my authority. We get impressed, and we don't stop to ask, okay, God, is this from you or not? Because we see people move in power. Look at Hollywood. You get impressed with Hollywood, and we give them power, we give them influence. Anything or anyone that has influence in your life has power in or around you or over you.
Say that again, anyone who has influence?
Anyone who has influence in your life, around you or over you, that's power. That's a form of power. I mean, influence is power. So you look at Hollywood and how Hollywood influences us by entertainment or just the entertainment industry in general. We give them power, which means power, again, can be used for good or evil. What happens is when we don't give thought or discernment, which is asking God, is this from you or not? We are letting anything have power or influence over us or over our children or over our home or over our families in whatever form that comes. I think Chris Vallotton had a really awesome post this weekend. It was a quote from Abraham Lincoln. It says, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." That was Abraham Lincoln said that. Is it really? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Abraham Lincoln, wow. Okay, Karen, thank you. I love, yes. Yeah, I mean, you get all these tidbits, you get the extra tidbits over here, extra info. This is why the Holy Spirit, I mean, the church has been afraid of the Holy Spirit for so many years is because the church is afraid of power. Because power becomes uncontrollable. Because power can't be reined in. So the church it's much easier for centuries for the church to keep us passive. Because when we're passive, we're not going to offend anybody. It's good crowd control. When we're passive, we're going to want religion and not relationship. And we're not going to look for power. We're not going to think about power. We're going to be impressed with those who are up there and just remain passive down here. And passivity actually leads to apathy. And it's kind of becomes that, well, what does it matter if I pray or not? Does it really make a difference? And we sort of end up in that place of like, I don't know, doesn't matter. The biggest secret the enemy doesn't want you to know is that authority only comes through relationship. Mm-hmm. Power is a gift. Power is given. But authority is not a gift. Authority only comes through your relationship with God. It is the highest supernatural authority possible. The Greek word is exousia. This is what Jesus used to enforce the kingdom, was authority. So Jesus carried power and authority. Jesus knew how to expand the kingdom with power. He knew how to enforce the kingdom with authority. This is how the kingdom of God sticks. So, you know, like we hear stories all the time of maybe missionaries have been sent to a remote place somewhere and they've converted a whole village and everyone came to Christ, and then maybe the missionaries left and someone went back 10 years later and they went back to the way they were before. Because no one taught them authority. No one taught them how to enforce the kingdom of God. We think about expansion. Oh my gosh, all these people come to Christ. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But if we're not teaching people about authority, then it's just this big circle that we keep swirling around, this sort of carousel, back and forth, and we see it all the time in our culture. We see it all the time in people and ourselves. So where the church lacks, in my opinion, is understanding authority. Because how many of us have actually sat in church and had someone talk about authority? Because what happens when I teach you or someone teaches you about authority, and you start walking in power and authority, you are unstoppable. You're no longer manipulated. You're no longer under anything. See, most of the church wants to just keep you passive, keep you quiet, keep you coming, write your check, do your thing. But when you understand power and authority, whoa, there isn't much you're afraid of. There isn't much that you can look out there. I mean, you're ready to go and expand and enforce and call out the things that are not of God. You know, if you see two kids in a power struggle, let's say over a toy, we've all seen it. You know, they're sitting here back and forth.
Over the thermostat.
I mean, Deborah and I have to fight people over the thermostat in here. You know, it's authority that comes in and stops it, right?
That's right.
Authority removes. Power creates, authority removes. In other words, if you don't have authority, you cannot remove demons, demonic forces, darkness, evil. That only happens with authority. So you're going to get into a power struggle. Because see, the enemy wants you in a power struggle because he'll wear you down. He's been at this a long time. Because if you don't understand your authority, you're going to get in a power struggle over stuff. Matthew 7, 28, 29 says, "The crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law." Authority comes in and sets the atmosphere and says, this is how things are done. You know, there's a big difference between someone who speaks and regurgitates information versus someone who speaks with authority. It pierces you. You can feel it. Things begin to break off. Things get activated in you. Eyes open. Ears hear. Shift happens. All three of our kids went through a confirmation class. And so every year would always volunteer to be in, like, they invite the parents to come have little groups. And this is middle school. So this is eighth graders. And it always amazed me. You could tell the people that knew how to come in and set an atmosphere because they had guest speakers every week. So the ones that never knew how to come in and, like, establish an atmosphere, those kids just ran over them the whole time. I mean, they didn't listen. They talked. You know, it's like being in a substitute teacher that comes into a classroom and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we had a sub today. Like, no one cared. Everybody just did whatever. Because they don't carry the authority like maybe the teacher does when the teacher's in there. I mean, some teachers don't. But I'm saying there's just this difference when someone who's up in front of you is carrying authority. You're feeling that. You're focused in. You're feeling a shift. You're wanting what they're sharing versus if someone's just sharing information, it's just like, well, it's just like another lesson and you can sort of check in and check out. This is why, because Jesus carried such a high level authority, this is why Jesus' presence alone dealt with stuff. This is why his presence alone dealt with stuff, because he carried authority. This is why Peter's shadow healings happened simply by his shadow, because he carried authority. Healings happen through the removal of something. When we go in and we want to pray for someone that has cancer, it's really important you understand your authority to remove the cancer. If you're going in there for power, you're not going to remove it. You need to remove, you need authority. To create, you hear those crazy stories about limbs growing out, or someone maybe didn't have a leg and a leg grows out, that's power, because that's creative. Authority is the removal of something. How do we gain the authority like Jesus talks about in Luke 10:19, where he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, that nothing will harm you. Because as children of God, we have the privilege of carrying and exercising his authority. The more we're in relationship with God, the more authority we are given. We are co-heirs, a royal priesthood. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation. You are deputized in the authority of Jesus Christ, meaning you are appointed to carry his authority. And it is only given to those who come close to God. It's only as deep and as good as your relationship with God. I want to read out of Acts 19, starting in verse 11, because I think this is such a clear example of one who's carrying authority and those that are not. So, see, Acts 19, verse 11 starts out saying, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. The sons of Sceva had no authority. See, Paul carries authority. They had no idea about authority because they had no relationship with Jesus. They had no relationship with God. Y'all, we get so impressed with power. We get so impressed with power, and we just think, wow, you know, this is this is what we want to go after, and we completely ignore the relationship piece with God. And yet we want to be in relationship with that person who has power. But we are called to be in relationship with God. Because authority can be lost or gained, it is not like a gift. It's not like the gifts. When in Romans 11, he talks about the gifts being irrevocable. The closer you are to God, the more authority. The further you are away from God, the less authority that you're going to carry. How do we get closer to God? Obedience. But it's obedience with a glad heart. It's not obedience with a bad attitude. Such as, let's say you're washing the dishes. You can wash the dishes and be obedient with a bad attitude. Like, oh my gosh, I gotta do this again. All right, whatever. Here we go. Done, done, done. Or you can wash the dishes. Lord, I love you and I praise you and thanking him. Do you see the difference between, because we can all look, I mean, you know, my kids can look obedient, yet on the inside, they can be giving me the finger. I mean, that just happens, you know, and we do that. So so it's obedience with submission. Obedience with submission. It's not obedience with defiance, which actually strips you of authority. Obedience with defiance strips you of authority. If you're thinking, fine, God, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be obedient, whatever, it's actually stripping you of authority. You're actually doing it with resentment. But when you are obedient with submission, which is, God, I am glad and willing to do this for the kingdom, for your kingdom, for the good of the kingdom. It doesn't have to always be about me, God. This is about you. That's the difference. That's where the foundation gets set to receive authority. when you look at Moses in Exodus 33, it's very fascinating. You know, at this point, Moses has, he's freed the Israelites from the Egyptians. They've walked through the Red Sea. He's received the Ten Commandments. He's done all these things with Pharaoh and everything, and he's having a conversation with God. And the first thing he asks is, God, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Then he says, let your presence go with us. Then he says, I want to see your glory. Y'all, we get it backwards because we're like, I want to see your glory. I want the presence of God. I'm going to go after all that. And then what happens is we get impressed with anything that looks powerful and exciting and wow. And we're ready to listen to anybody that gets up there and does sort of a spiritual juggling act. And look at the power of God on them. And woohoo! And they're calling stuff out. And what he's saying, when the order is, I want to know your ways first. How many of us are really praying, God, I want to know your ways. I want to know who you are. It's like what Lacey read in Psalm 19 in the Passion or whatever translation. If you weren't here, go back and read 7 through 11. His commandments are so pure, his precepts. God, I want to know your ways. And I want to walk in your ways with grateful obedience. Grateful obedience. It is the hardest thing to desire is the ways of God. Because we want to say, God, I want to know your ways, but do it my way in my ways.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. We get so misled when we do not look for his ways. We get so impressed with stuff going on out here, or we get very gray and we're like, you know what, whatever, that's fine. And then we realize, you know what, God isn't gray. It's his ways. It's his ways only. Authority is needed to remove darkness and enforce the kingdom of God. One of the things I remember thinking about, examples of authority in my own life, and we're going to go through just keys and how to practice this and develop it, because that I want to give you a little side story. I remember this fall, our youngest plays football, really serious about football, has been for years. And this was his second year on varsity. He's a junior. And so it was a much harder year, just much more expected of him. And had one particular coach that really lacked the gift of encouragement. And
kind of,
yeah.
That was so wonderful.
And really, really worked him over. And that was just the coach's way of you know, you know that whole, you got to tear him down, you got to build him back up kind of thing. And the deal was we were lacking on the building up. And so sometimes Richard would just come home because they had football right before lunch, and he would just come home at lunch just to kind of get his head on straight, because he was just so overwhelmed by what, you know, just the way the coach treated him. And he's a great athlete. It's not that there was anything, it's just his way of kind of getting in their minds and, you know, whatever that kind of deal is. And so he, you know, we prayed at lunch, and then he went back to school, and a new football practice started at 4, and I thought, you know what, I know exactly what I'm going to do. So I drove over to football. I got my car parked right where I could see the field. Now, this is September. It is hot. And I sat in my car with the windows down, and out loud, I just bound that spirit of profanity and bullying and intimidation. And I spent an hour sweating my buns off in that car, taking authority over that football field. Left. Before it was over, Richard came home. I was like, well, how was football? He's like, he goes, it was weird. Like, coach just did not even say, like, he was actually nice to me. And I thought, really? Really? That's amazing. And he goes, Mom, I had the weirdest feeling. He goes, were you there? And I said, yeah, I sat in my car. And he goes, I kept feeling like you were there in this weird way. That's authority. That is authority. I'm not reaching back for power. I'm like, no, I'm driving. No, right now I'm going to enforce the kingdom of God. No, this is not the kingdom of God where we tear people up and we cuss them out and we shame them in front of people. No, I'm going to enforce the kingdom of God. That's what that looks like. The enemy has been stripped completely of authority. Yes. The only time, this is what I want you to hear, the only time that darkness seems to win is when they are more submitted to their God than we are to ours. The only time that darkness seems to win is when they're more submitted to their God than we are to ours. And this is happening at a very accelerated pace in our culture right now. The authority is that place where your yes is your yes and your no is your no. Authority will always trump power every single time. Every single time. So, keys to developing authority. Or steps to developing authority. I this is a revelation that came to me 6 years ago and still unfolding in my life. I will definitely say after being in the hospital in May, I learned a lot more about authority. It was just like another level of that. So when I give you these keys, it's not because, wow, I've mastered this. No, I mean, Jesus is the only one who walked in full authority. I hope you hear that. This is just what I've learned. So I'm just willing to share what God has shared with me. But when you're looking for an example of authority, you need to look at Jesus Christ. Number one, desire to know his ways above all else. Again, like we talked about, not trying to fit God into your ways. That will be the birthplace of submission. To ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me walk out God's ways. How do I know his ways? Read the Bible and find out what his ways are. The second thing is stay authentic to Christ no matter the crowd. Stay authentic to Christ no matter the crowd. That you're not swayed by popular opinion. It's easy to get on a bandwagon right now. It's the few that are just going to stand up and say no. I mean, my husband and I were at the rodeo the other night. I mean, this is his, you know, he's Mr. Rodeo because he rodeoed forever, and our niece is very involved. And anyway, he would go every night. I don't want to go every night. And I went Monday, and I was like, okay, Lord, I know there's going to be a divine appointment. And we're sitting at this little booth because he likes to walk around, and it's one of the, and the auction barns over there, and the guy behind the deal is he's whistling Mulan, you know, as long as it's like that, whatever that little tune is. And finally I was like, oh my gosh, you're getting that in my head. I was like, gosh, I've got Mulan. He goes it's so sad. He goes, Disney's like weird now, like things are so just weird, and I don't know, it's not the same. And I was like, it's demonic. And I saw my husband's head go, oh God, like, don't. Like, literally, he just kind of looked at me like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know? And he goes, and the guy looked at me and goes, you're right, it is. And I said, yeah, it's really dark. Call it for what it is. Call it for what it is. Why are we placating that stuff? Why are we making it like it's just okay to make witches a good thing for our children? That's not his ways. The third thing is exercise obedience. Intentional in obedience. And the way you can start doing this is doing the mundane things with intention of exalting and glorifying God. Just the mundane stuff. Yesterday I was, you know, we were getting ready to do this vacation rental that we've invested in, and I was trying to make the bed. Like, you have to make everything look really good because someone's going to stay there, and I'm down there trying to, I can't stand making beds, trying to pull that fitted sheet and get the bed skirt all made. I'm getting frustrated, and I was like, Ashley, do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord. Like, just reminders to yourself. Like, Lord, what a privilege this is. Like, it's just a reminder that we can do these. If we have authority in these little bitty mundane things, then we're going to have authority in the big stuff, y'all. If we take authority over the little stuff that irritates us, then we're going to be able to go out and have authority in the big things that are sickening us. I mean, we need to remove coronavirus. It needs to go. It needs to die out. So we need everyone to rise up in their authority to say no to that in the name of Jesus. Be willing to be uncomfortable and inconvenienced. That's kind of how we build obedience. with gratitude. Number four, learn to do transition well and be alert and flexible in change. We live in an accelerated time where things are changing at a rapid, rapid pace. The more submitted we are to God, the less offended we are going to get when things are changing. To do transition well, to be alert in the changing times, because we live in such an accelerated time. You know, I think about Jesus was always on the move, but he was always at peace within. You know, he was in transition all the time, but he was always at peace within himself. Now, here's some thoughts about how to recognize areas where you're lacking authority or lacking authority maybe in others. And we all give away authority in our lives. This is the thing that I think God is really making me more aware of, and I think it's a move that he's really helping us understand and raise our awareness of where we're giving away authority. But I want to help you recognize lack of authority so that we can know and move differently. The first thing is, when you constantly feel vulnerable in your faith in Christ and not secure, that would be the first place, that would be a first clue that you're lacking authority. When you're constantly not feeling secure in your faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing would be lack of self-control. When we practice and exercise authority in here, it allows us to take more territory out there. In other words, when I can have authority over my emotional climate, then I can have more authority on the outside. Which is why we do a lot of connection prayer, one-on-one prayer appointments, because the way to get gain authority in the emotional atmosphere inside of you is getting the truth from Jesus.
Right.
And the more submitted, that's another place of just incredible submission that you allow him to come in and speak, and then you begin to see the fruit of that as you go out, and then you have a higher level of authority. The third thing is when you're not in the Word. When you're not in the Word, the authorities will elude you, because God is, he wants to draw you to himself, but he wants to draw you to his Word. Our Word is our filter for this world. The Word of God is our lens in which we are called to look out upon the world. Even if you just start like 15 minutes a day. All right, God, I'm going to start 15 minutes a day. I'm going to start, it doesn't matter where, I'm just going to have this intentional, disciplined time of 15 minutes a day to get in your Word. That should be above and set aside anything else. I mean, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be 10 o'clock at night. It could be when you're in carpool and waiting in line. It does just 15 minutes to start. Four is living with a victim mentality, that everybody is the problem but me, and which is fueled by self-pity. A victim mentality is fueled by self-pity. That it's just a powerless place to live. And there's no authority in that. Everybody else is the problem but me. The fifth thing is lack of internal peace. I'm not talking about external things. External things are going to happen. I'm talking about on the inside, that there's a restlessness that just cannot be quieted. Now, this does not apply if you've gone through a trauma or something like that. That is very different. You're going to have a lack of peace on the inside because you're healing. This is just in our everyday beyond that type life where we're just constantly feeling restless. Number six is a lack of discernment. Discernment and judgment are not the same thing. Discernment is the ability to know, is this from God or not? Discernment is what John talks about in 1 John 4 when he says, you know, test the spirits. God, is this of you or not? Everything that we allow from music, movies on, everything that we allow, we need to be asking, Lord, is this of you or not? Because it is so easy to get caught up in things that are not of God. So, you know, this summer, I can't remember if I told you all the story or not, you know, Richard got into playing the electric guitar and hard rock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So hard rock, I'm talking Motley Crue. I'm talking, you know,
classic, baby.
AC/DC.
Jewish.
Yeah, and so then he orders this with his own money. He orders this poster on Amazon. It's Motley Crue. And he puts it in his room. And I'm like, okay, Lord. I'm looking at that poster, and they're looking back at me. And I kind of am trying to, because, Mom, I know you don't like it. I said, Richard, it's what they represent that I don't like. I was like, do you see anything else in our house that looks like that? And he goes, no. And so I kind of let it sit for a while and prayed about it. I thought, Lord, I just pray that you would convict him to take that down. Okay, well, that didn't happen. Okay, I tried to do that. And then my housekeeper, who's an amazing spirit-filled Christian, she's just incredible. She comes and tells me one day, she's like, I had this dream about you. And the minute she tells me the dream, I was like, I know exactly. I was like, Tanya? And she goes, it's the poster. I was like, it's the poster. So we go in there, we rip the poster down. I rip it up, I put it in the trash. And so I'm praying, and Richard gets home, and he doesn't say anything. And I thought, okay, you know, he knew that was wrong, and thank you, Lord. 5 days goes by. I'm in the bath. Mom, did you take my poster down? And I was like, I'm in the bath right now. I'll be with you in a second. No, Mom, like, did you rip my poster down? Richard, I'm in the bath. I will, just one moment. And so then Carl could kind of hear. I was like, you go deal with that. And he's like, oh, thanks. But I had to use authority because it doesn't add up with God's ways, even though I knew it was going to cost me conflict with him. And that was just, I was not willing. That doesn't mean that he still, you know, plays some of their music, whatever. That's something, you know, at 17, you also have to find your own way with the Lord. But I'm certainly not going to exalt those people in my house. And that's using discernment to know that's not of God. And then taking the authority to say no and getting it out, even though it was going to cost him getting mad at me. He is over it by now. And I've told him, you could only play guitar if you learned a worship song. We're still working on the worship song. Because he's like, there isn't one for, you know, electric guitar. I don't agree, and I'm going to have to get him and Zach together, because I'm determined that Zach is going to be like, oh, let me show you one. All right. Seventh one is delayed obedience, which is really just disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We can put it off, but it is really disobedience. The eighth one, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go faster because, wow, I'm taking a long time, is codependence on man. Mm-hmm. When we're codependent on one another, we don't know where that person ends and where I begin. And codependent runs rampant in our culture. You know, I've grown up with that. I've learned how to walk out of that. We are created to be codependent upon God. So this is nothing to feel guilty about. It's something to have awareness about and go, you know what, God, you're my life source. We're codependent when we're looking for someone out there to fill us up on the inside. When we're looking for someone out there to be our life source, that is reserved only for God. Number nine, last one, exalting man above him. You know, this is the first commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. But we exalt man because we don't know any better. And so it's like, be careful who you put on a pedestal. Don't put people on a pedestal. I was having this conversation with someone. You can respect people. You can look up to people. But don't ever put a person on a pedestal. Jesus is the one that we put up on the pedestal. God is the one that we exalt. All right, so quickly, those who carry authority, I want you to, this is kind of the opposite. Those who carry authority, this is how to build authority in your life. One, to value your relationship with God above all else.
You say value?
Value your relationship with God above everything else. Number two, to understand the principle of rest and receive and put it into practice. Resting in God is allowing him to delight in you and you delighting in him. And it's in that place where you can receive. My friend Caroline and I were having this conversation last week about, we were with a third person, was asking about how I put my talks together. And Carolyn's like, wow, Ashley, I thought you had like this whole structure or formula. No, I don't. I rest and receive. I literally, like, most of this was written this past weekend. I just took a walk and I just talked with God and listened and I just took notes. Rest and receive. Number three, consistent in their walk with the Lord. Being consistent in your walk with the Lord increases your authority because God trusts you. He trusts you that when you say you're going to show up, you show up. Number four, most people that walk with a high level of authority also have a high level of empathy that's protected by discernment. A lot of people can have high levels of empathy, but they fall into the trap of feeling sorry for someone and they plug into pity. And Jesus was never moved by pity. He was always moved by compassion. So when you have a high level of empathy, you really need to come into understanding of discernment so that you can understand if someone's sucking you in with their victim story or wanting you to have pity upon them. It's very important that you understand that difference. Number five, people that walk with a high level of authority have an understanding of the spiritual world. We live in a spiritual world in human form. And I've said this before, you know, your agreement is the most sought after commodity in the spirit world. Because whatever you agree with, you allow to have influence over your life. And because you're a Christian, the enemy cannot possess you, but he can oppress you. And the way that he does that is through your agreement. Yes, I am an idiot. Okay, I'm always failing. Yes. And then you start to agree, and then he has power into your life. And you've abdicated your authority. Number six, they don't shy away from the look impossible scenarios. Jesus never shied away from the things that looked impossible because he walked into those with authority. Number seven, they have extraordinary gratitude in all things. Number eight, I mentioned this one before, they're codependent on God. You know, it's that Jesus saying the night before he was crucified, abide in me and I will abide in you. That is the heavenly picture of codependence, that we are abiding in him and allowing him to abide in us. And number nine, they exalt the one true God and not man. So when we look at practicing, I want to give you just a couple of ways to practice and develop authority, because honestly, the only way that you really understand how much authority you carry is when you come in contact with darkness. But I'm not going to ask you to do that. Although you will in your life, you will bump up against it. But that's how you really learn how much authority you carry. The first thing I want to mention, and I said it before, was learning to take authority over our emotions, which sets us up for greater victories. And forgiveness, repentance, having someone pray with you over you, those are all ways to take back your authority on your internal climate. Number two is learning to not get drained. Jesus made time alone with his dad no matter what was happening. And we all have busy lives and busy schedules, but even if you just stopped for 5 minutes and just set that time and just said, God, this is our 5 minutes together. You know, just taking time to rest and receive with him, that's how you learn how to not get drained and set boundaries with people. You can't be everywhere for everyone. That's God's job. He's eternal. He can be anywhere in every place. You have, number three, your set time in the Word. And four is you ask God how to get to know his ways and learn his ways and then practice walking in those ways. Maybe next time you're running late somewhere, I don't know if you're like me, I'm very punctual, I like being on time, so running late can make me start to feel really anxious, but I've learned how to do this. When I'm running late, I just say, Lord, right now, I just ask that you manipulate time and you get me there on time. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be in a hurry. Lord, you are in control, and that's one way I've learned how to develop authority is to not, those little things, not allow myself to get really bent up about being late, because that's one of them for me. Next time you're in a public place, and let's say you go somewhere at a restaurant or grocery store and people are arguing, just take a moment and start releasing the presence of God next to them and watch the argument just sort of dismantle. You know, you're sent into places because we've kind of God's undercover operations. Like, we think, well, I'm just going to the grocery store. No. Like, you don't know who you're going to encounter there. You don't know what you're going to see in there. So that's one way you can practice authority, is if there's something going on, like an argument, just get a little closer and just be like, just start praying, Lord, just release your presence right now. The authority of God, we just release it in this room right now, Father God. Your peace would just come like a stake in the ground. You know, however you're led to pray, that's one way I would practice it a lot, was just anytime I got in a place where things would get uncomfortable, or anytime I stay in a hotel room, I anoint that room and I pray in that room before I ever lay my head on the bed there. And I ask God to cleanse it, and I ask him to send angels. I'll put worship music on my phone. That is taking authority. Or you get into an airplane, you anoint the airplane. Lord, this plane is in your hands. I release the authority of Jesus. So in other words, wherever I'm going, I know I'm carrying the authority. And the more I practice the authority, the more God trusts me with more of it. Does that make sense? I remember we were on a cruise ship a couple years ago, and to Alaska with our kids and everyone. And there was this conference going on, and something about the conference just was off to me. So, you know me, I'm really curious. So I'm kind of like walking by where they're having this conference. Well, sure enough, this conference is this huge, like, new age couple that channels the spirit named Seth and gives, you know, prophecies for things. And I'm like, oh yeah, not on my cruise ship. I was like, this is, I know why I'm on this cruise ship now, you know? And so I would just begin to walk around. I spent a lot of time walking around that cruise ship, releasing the presence of God, you know, and just taking authority. And it wasn't like, you know, that whole conference was going to blow up. I wasn't there to go to battle with that. But I was just there to release the presence of God and know that, you know, wherever I'm going, God is going. And Lord, that truth would come into these people, that they would know that you are the true voice, that this other voice they're listening to is not of you. It's just a heightened awareness that we get to live in and know, and how to exercise that. So for our activation, as I'm wrapping up, if you want to take a moment, I just had a couple of questions that you might want to ask Jesus. And then we're going to pray. Let's just ask Jesus, is there any part or place in me that is giving away authority? Or you could say, Jesus, will you show me where I'm giving away authority? Or show me where I'm coming under the influence of something that is not of you. And then I just want you to pray, if you're willing, Jesus, forgive me for giving away my authority. I ask that you reestablish your authority within me and set your boundaries in place in my heart to guide me, direct me, and help me. Amen. I'm gonna read the Great Commission that we've all heard before out of Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, every one of you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So Father God, I ask you right now that you would commission us to go out to the grocery stores, to our offices, to our schools, to our homes, to the movie theaters, to the mall, to the nail salon, wherever it is, Father God, that you would commission us, not because we're ready, but because we're in relationship with you. Because we're in relationship with you, Father God, we have been entrusted by you to carry your power and your authority wherever we go. And I thank you, Father God, for lighting our hearts on fire to guard the good deposit that you have given to us. I thank you for igniting in us a curiosity to know your ways in a way that we maybe have not before. So as we leave here today, Father God, I ask that each and every one of these women in front of me and men, that they would feel 10 feet taller on the inside, that they would know the authority that they carry, that there would be no fear, that there would be confidence in their voice, that they would be laser focused, Lord. I ask for an increase in discernment, especially on those that have not really known what that gifting is like. I ask, Holy Spirit, would you just elevate that gift of discernment in every single person in this room? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We will see y'all next week. Have a great weekend.